Let's get moving with Maria. Inspiration to spend a few minutes each day to get moving on the small things that can make a big difference in your life.
Thank you for joining us today for Let's Get Moving. Today I have with me marriage and family therapist Dr. Liz Hale. And Dr. Liz, today we are going to talk about the power of touch. And instinctively, we all know that touch is very important, but you've been telling me that there's actually a research institute that's been studying this for 40 years?
It's hard to believe, right? There
is
a reason why holding hands and hugging and cuddling can feel so good. The Touch Research Institute is actually at the University of Miami Medical School. And Maria, they have an impressive researcher, Tiffany Field, who's been studying touch for over 40 years. I thought I was, you know, kind of seasoned in my field. She's definitely seasoned, and she's determined that the time you and I, the time from when we're in the womb through our elderly years, touch plays a key role in our development and in our physical and our even our well-being. And I'm going to go on to tell you about some of the studies that show that physical contact and that early development and communication, personal relationships, and they even help in fighting disease.
Wow. That is pretty cool. One of the first things that comes to my mind is that, Dr. Liz, we haven't been touching anybody in the past year.
We have not been.
And that has to have an incredible impact on all of us.
Oh, man. I think we are really a touch-starved nation, and it happened even before COVID. When you look at some of the studies that compare the U.S. to, let's say, Paris, it's pretty remarkable. They looked at a group of children as well as teens, compared Paris to a city in Miami. And it turned out that children on a playground were touched much more, positively touched much more in Paris than the children in America, in Miami in particular. And they were also, therefore, less aggressive than the children in Miami. So perhaps that was a correlation.
Interesting.
Same thing with teenagers. Teenagers in Paris versus a McDonald's in Miami. Those teens in Paris, they were touching each other all the time. Maria, they're laying on each other, they're playing with each other's hair, they're massaging, all positive touch. But their communication was much less aggressive than the teens in Miami, who hardly touched each other. They touched themselves, they flipped their own hair, right, and they cracked their knuckles. So perhaps there is something very key about that aggression / touch analogy.
Right. And you know it that I've come from the Greek culture and we hug everyone. That's just our greeting.
You do. I love that
and
about you.
This past year has been brutal. It has been brutal not to be able to hug those people when you see them. I can see why touch is so powerful. This is a great topic.
Me too. And I'm a hugger. So you and I are going to feel that a little bit more. But many Americans, I got to tell you, they're not really. They don't know that they're touch-starved.
Right.
The Touch Research Institute also went to the gates. Well, this is before COVID, but they'd go to airport gates, and they'd study families sitting together. They'd study parents and partners and children. We touched a whopping 98% of the time. Guess what we were doing instead? We're looking at our cell phones and our iPads.
Oh.
Even small children are.
Oh, that's so true.
So I don't think many of us realize how much we're missing out on touch. Because you and I are touchers, you're not going to be surprised to know about this. Did you know there's such things as non-sexual cuddle parties?
I didn't know about the parties, but like I said, every greeting at any sort of Greek cultural event, we all hug each other. That's what we do. So maybe that is considered a cuddle party, right?
Isn't that funny? There's professional cuddlers. Snuggle buddies exist, but you got to pay a fee.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, it's truly legit, and people will pay for it when they are so touch-starved.
So, Dr. Liz, what can the rest of us learn from this? I know you have an acronym that you want to share.
You bet. You bet. Well, let's look at it. Well, maybe just one more thought about why you and I think that we're so touch-starved. Besides coronavirus, I think it's also because we're quite a litigious American society, right?
Right.
We get a little excited with we cross-wire touch with sex, which is so unfortunate. And we have no touch policies in school. And then, of course, as I said, the cell phones and computers. So I think maybe it's just opening the floodgates of thinking about touching each other more at home. You know, your loved ones. Reach out and touch, especially with a child that maybe you're not getting along with or a partner. Every time you pass someone, touch. So that first, we'll look at the acronym TOUCH, absolutely. And the first is transformative. Touch can be transformative. It's the key to a long and happy union. Right. So make a concerted effort to touch each other every day. Because what touch communicates is you and me. I'm on your side. We're in this together.
Right. I know that.
Have you noticed that,
that
in your own
morning
marriage?
Hug, that morning kiss is so important. If my husband leaves home without kissing me goodbye, I feel starved. You're right. I feel like something's wrong in the marriage.
You bet. We have evolved all kinds of brain mechanisms to stay in love and to fall in love, of course, first, and touch is high among them. So let's raise a level on touch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's just see kind of what it does. I'm practicing that myself. We're pretty touchy, my husband and I, and I'm just raising the bar on that.
I know. This is so tough, Dr. Liz, in the Me Too movement. A lot of men are just scared to even touch anyone. I know.
Oh.
You know, we've gone almost too far the other way, I'm afraid.
We have indeed. Yep. Well stated, my friend. Another reason why touch could be so important, especially to the brain, is the oxytocin boost. You know, oxytocin is such a great hormone neurotransmitter that's associated with empathy in our relationships and trust and relationship building. And it turns out not just any touch will do. Can you relate, Maria, to a touch that's more favorable than another?
Well, sure. A hug is more favorable than a tap.
Yeah,
right?
Tap is a good one. Too soft can be irritating to a lot of us. It's like a tickle.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that doesn't feel very welcome. Too hard, we'll just think of like the sternum rub, right? When someone is unconscious, we're told to rub the sternum really hard because it's irritating.
Mm-hmm.
So the moderate pressure that you apply in a hug or a back rub or a foot rub has more positive effects on oxytocin than light pressure.
This reminds me of my father. He would wake me up by tickling my feet with a feather.
And how did that go? Was it welcome or not welcome?
No, it was not welcome. It woke me right up, of course, because
that's where you are on the ear, right?
So that's where you're saying, you know, that too soft a touch can be a deterrent, right?
Mm-hmm. Just think about the chemicals going through your body for better or for worse. Right. And some of those why those chemicals are also so important is they help us be better equipped to fight disease and infection.
Mm-hmm.
And more negative chemicals like being tickled on the foot with a feather, raises cortisol and that keeps infection going. And so that's probably not such a great thing, even though your father meant well.
That's that reaction where you jerk away from the touch.
Yes,
right.
Instead of
lean into it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. One more study on just thinking about oxytocin it was interesting to see that when we have something important to do that's stressful, let's say like it's a public speaking event, when we are touched, hugged, massaged, or otherwise lovingly coddled before a stressful event, we're more likely to perform better.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because we are more relaxed. Why? Because of oxytocin.
Right. We feel more confident just with that little bit of oxytocin.
Indeed. You know, it just turns out that under our skin are these sensory receptors, these C-tactile afferents, they're called. And there's nerve endings, and they recognize any form of touch. And when you stimulate those, it's the vagal nerve in the brain that's activated, and that's attached to 12 cranial nerves throughout the branches of the body. So touch really does play a role in our gastrointestinal system, our heart, and even our vocal cords. I think it's just so cool to remind ourselves about this. Yep. You know, people live alone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Single people are often asking me, or someone who's newly divorced. Well, oftentimes, we as therapists often say, go get a massage, right?
Right.
Even get your hair done or your nails done as you start to feel safer in this society. But outside of that, if you're staying more close to home because of COVID, you can lather up a loofah in the shower. Or use a shower brush that stimulates the pressure points in under the skin, or even walking stimulates the pressure points that are under the feet.
Oh, now that is interesting. We have a lot of single people, too, that have been totally isolated, younger people.
It's so painful. Think about how you and I are taught how to wash our hands. If we're doing it correctly, we're moving the skin on our hands. That helps us stay healthy by not only washing off the potential of the virus, but stimulating the pressure points again.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I hadn't even considered.
See tactile afferents. You got it. And you didn't even know it, right?
I didn't even know it.
Me either.
I'm sure there's a lot of those things that I don't know.
Yeah. Should we move on to you?
Yes, please.
You as in part of touch, T-O-U, now it's universal understanding. Touch is indeed universal, right? And we talked, you and I, as we started, just about some of the differences in our culture mm-hmm. and how people in America really, we don't realize that we're touch-starved.
Right.
Because we haven't been touching for some time for a variety of reasons. And I love just looking at different cultures and how they do touch a little bit differently. One of my favorite studies is really from a long time ago, back to my day in the 1960s. There was a psychologist named Sidney Gerard, mm-hmm. and he studied conversations of friends in different parts of the world as they sat in cafes.
Right.
He observed them for about 1 hour, and he found that in England, can you imagine how often friends touched? Zero.
Not at all.
Zero times in an hour, yeah.
So
in the United States?
Refined and, okay.
A little bit, quite refined. In the United mm-hmm. States, we touched, when we got enthusiastic, an average of 2 times.
Okay.
But in France, the number shot up to 100 times per hour.
No.
Yep. Puerto Rico, 180 times per hour.
We are touch starved.
Oh, yes. Yes, and sadly, we don't even know it. But I think we would know it as we start to touch more.
Right.
Yep. So
wow.
C is cooperation. This, I think you're going to find this interesting. So the NBA did a study. It's not expansive, but I think it's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There was a team that determined that the more they touched, the more they won. So the more physical connection between players, like during practice and games, things like, you know, fist bump, a high five, a low five, a chest bump,
right.
head slap, head grabs.
They touch a lot in the NBA, though.
Yes. Half hugs, full hugs. Well, the mm-hmm. greater the success of the individual players and the team.
That's fascinating to me.
It is. It appears that touch instills trust.
Now I'm going to be watching the Jazz even more closely.
I know it. Somebody tell them, please. Pick up the phone, right? It's this contagion that spreads goodwill, and it appears to make players better in behalf of each other. So we can definitely use the power of touch even every day if we're not in the NBA. Like repairmen that might come to your home. If you tend to touch them with a pat on the back, they just might get the job done faster.
Interesting.
And then waitresses who touch customers, you know, on the forearm, on the back, it's all appropriate touch, of course, they get better tips. Doctors who touch patients during an interview, an mm-hmm. exam, they receive more favorable reviews. And even petition gatherers who touch passerbyers, again, like on the forearm, they get more signatures.
Mm-hmm.
I love this about teachers, for those who might be listening, that when teachers patted students on the back in a safe, friendly way, those students were 3 times more likely to speak up in class.
They just felt that. They gave them that confidence, that oxytocin boost.
You bet. I love it. I love to be touched. I'm practicing that a little bit. You know, even just in therapy, I'll walk behind someone to get them a water, and I'm purposely touching them, you mm-hmm. know, on the shoulder, on the back. Doesn't, you know, take long, but I'm just testing it out myself.
Right.
And of course, so that's T-O-U-C-H is for what does touch do? It creates greater health and happiness, studies show anyway. It can actually increase how we feel on a day-to-day basis. It seems that touch is transforming medicine, Maria.
Mm-hmm.
My mother had Alzheimer's, and these studies of touch with Alzheimer's patients have impressive effects on their relaxation, their emotional connections with other people, and even a reduction in depression.
So important. So
my
important.
Mom would love me to rub her feet. You know, she loved that. She wasn't really a very touchy woman.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I was loved, but I don't think that was really the love language she grew up with either. But I know for me, when she passed away, I so missed being able to touch her and rub her feet. You know, I missed that for myself, even as her daughter.
Right.
Massage therapy even reduces pain in pregnant women and alleviates prenatal depression, and that happens not just for the women, but for the spouses.
Right.
For those
people
that.
Who have a hard time.
Win-win.
Yeah. For those people who have a hard time falling asleep, try massaging your feet a bit.
Yeah.
It works.
And it never feels as good to do it yourself,
no.
does it, as when
no.
someone else is doing it.
It doesn't.
Unless we have, to tell you the truth, that's a good sign. That means you don't have brain damage. For someone that may have a certain part of their brain that's not working well, they can't tell a difference in touch. But for those of us that don't have brain damage, it feels much better when someone else is doing it. Just a couple more things in some of this research I found is that when doctors make eye contact, again, or pats on the back, it tends to actually boost a survival rate of a patient with a complex disease.
Hmm.
And then children with autism, what do we typically say about children with autism? They don't like touch, right?
Right.
But it turns out they actually love being massaged by someone they trust, like a parent or a therapist. And if this doesn't mean you and I should turn around and invade personal space of everyone around us, right?
Right. No, I know. Some people are feeling a little uncomfortable about
some
this.
Some people
moment.
Are screaming, right? It's
right.
So true. So let's start in our small circle. If you want to improve a relationship, see what it's like just to reach out and touch.
Such.
We are wired to connect to other people on that very basic level. And I really do feel, Maria, that to deny ourselves is really to deprive ourselves of some of life's greatest joys and deepest comforts. Even Helen Keller once said, paradise is attained by touch.
Such great information. Thank you so much, Dr. Liz, for sharing your research with us.
It was a pleasure. I would say Helen Keller was an expert on touch.
Yes, she definitely was.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Take care, Maria. Happy spring.
Same to
and
you.
And see what it's like just to touch a little bit more in those safe social arenas.
We will do that. Thank you so much, Dr. Liz.
Take care.
Bye-bye.